And Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, the works that I do, you can do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father, implying that now the Spirit can come within us to do the same thing. So, the Holy Spirit will work within us, and the Holy Spirit will work without. Within is iskus, without is dunamis. On this side here, the power of the Word, kratos, is the power of the Word working within us, changing us on the inside, and then exousia is the power of the Word working without. We begin to exercise the authority without. We begin to take our authority as sons of the living God without. So it's God working in, and then God working out through us. So both words, we see the definition there, and they are related. With those definitions and tools, we can now study the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And that must be common knowledge before we enter Ephesians. And we can see how, just take an example in chapter 6. With those definitions, when you read chapter 6, it has more meaning. Like in chapter 6, verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong, that is, be strengthened with dunamis on the inside. All power is finally related to the key word dunamis because it's related to the Holy Spirit. So the Greek word here is endunamo, which is a verb form of the word dunamis. Dunamis is a noun, dunamo is a verb. When they add two other words in front, en dunamo, epsilon and nu, or endunamao, dunamo, or o, mo, en dunamo. Let me spell it again. Endunamo, right? En dunamo, it means the word en added in front means it's on the inside. So it says, finally, my brethren, be strong on the inside, which is what a good translation that is paraphrased would put it this way. Finally, my brethren, be strong on the inside in the Lord, in the kratos of his iskus. Praise God. We see that he's talking about the prevailing power and the availing power coming on the inside. And that's how it harmonizes together. And then only he talks about verse 11, on the outside, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you may have dunamis to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word able is the word dunamis. So it becomes clearer. Now, with that background, we look over here at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, and observe the usage that Paul has. Looking at it with those Greek words, and what is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis towards us? Now, God has dunamis for us. Who believe according to the energizing of his iskus kratos. Do you know that the greatness of his dunamis for us is according to the energizing of the iskus and kratos in our life? Because that same iskus and kratos in verse 20 has been energized in Christ, and it's through iskus and kratos that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. And now God is saying, I'm going to raise you up with the same power on your inside. In Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, we put them as a pair together. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at some of... Ephesians chapter 1 is interesting in its introduction. We have, in Ephesians chapter 1... like the Trinity being mentioned. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 1, looking over here in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 6 and verse 7. Let's read from verse 6. It says something about God the Father in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And what He did, He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. He predestined us. In verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Then verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His glory. And now from verse 7 onwards, it talks about Jesus Christ, and what Jesus has done, and all those things that Jesus did, and it concludes in verse 12, that we first who trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Then it talks about the Spirit in verse 13. In Him you also trusted, and after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And verse 14, the last phrase, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Now the words "to the praise of His glory" are dividing points on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What a powerful introduction. And then he goes on to his prayer in 15. Looking at what the Father did, looking at what the Son has done, and looking at what the Holy Spirit has for us, Paul starts praying again. And he says, I pray to God. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers to God the Father, that He will give you, in verse 17, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. And he prayed for the main thing here, the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. What is the main thrust of his prayer? That the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. To three things. Number one, the hope of his calling. Number two, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Number three, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Three things he prayed for them. Now it looks as if it's only the last one, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, is according to the working of his mighty power. But if you read of it in the Greek, the meaning is all three depends. In other words, knowing, number one, the hope of his calling, and knowing, number two, the riches of the glory, and knowing, number three, the exceeding greatness of the power, all depends on that working of power that he raised Jesus Christ with. It could have been read this way, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, according to the energizing of his mighty power, iskus kratos, which he worked in Christ Jesus. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, according to the energizing of iskus kratos that he energized in Christ. And then, number three, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power, according to the working of his iskus kratos, which he energized in Christ Jesus. All those three things that we are to know, what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, is according, based on, founded upon, established by the energizing that comes from the iskus kratos in our lives. And it talks about how Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He concludes chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, which is a twin of chapter 1, he now talks about us. I mean, it's good to see Jesus seated at the right hand of God. But in chapter 2, his emphasis is that we are also seated up there. That is why I put chapter 1 and 2 together. They are both talking about our position in Christ. Chapter 1 and 2 emphasizes who we are in Christ. See, in chapter 2, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the exousia of the air, the spirit who now energizes in the sons of disobedience." In other words, there are two types of energizing. One is the evil one who works and energizes the wrong things, while God is energizing some things through the power of His Spirit. And He says in verse 3, "whom we once conducted our lives accordingly," but He says God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead in trespasses, now in chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, "even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So He established chapter 2 that we are also up there in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the key is Iskus and Kratos working in our life, and the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Now it's important for us to note here, having understood those four words, we can build further. Verse 17, chapter 1, He says, he prays that God may give the Ephesians the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And verse 18, "the eyes of your understanding." The word understanding, and it's found only in the accepted text, the majority text, is found here, Textus Receptus. Of the Greek manuscript, some of the modern manuscripts don't have that. "The eyes of your dianoia." Remind, what is dianoia? Right. "The eyes of your dianoia." Not dying noia, but dianoia. D-I-A-N-O-I-A. Dianoia. We have one whole tape studying on dianoia on the visualizing in the spirit series. And then in just to show the connection, in chapter 2, verse 3, the evil one also working in the dianoia. In verse 3, "among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the dianoia." What is the dianoia? There are about 7 or 8 Greek words for the word mind, understand and understanding. We've got no time to go through all those words, but one of the most important Greek words for the word mind is the word dianoia. The word dianoia is translated in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, I believe it's verse 51, as the word imagination. Luke 1 verse 51. "The imaginations of the heart." And when I studied dianoia in New Testament, every time when dianoia was mentioned, there is always an emphasis on the visual part of our mind. the visual part of the mind. Many times, it is mentioned with the word heart, the dianoia of the heart, the eyes. The fact that the word eyes are mentioned, he's not talking about physical eyes, he's talking about inner eyes of the understanding. Another word for the word mind, it's found in the book of Acts, is the word dialogismos. Logismos, dia, logismos, logismos. Dialogismos is where we get the English word logic, logis. It talks about line upon line, precept upon precept. And